This morning I'm going to be preaching on conversion and the role of conversion in becoming a disciple, and so I thought it would be good for us to hear a conversion story. This is my friend Marcus. You can learn nothing from the color of his shirt. He really is an introvert, and this goes against his character. Not really, but I've gotten to know Marcus over the last year and thought that his story would be encouraging for us. Two parts of his story. First of all, how he came to faith, and then secondly, some of the next steps that he has been taking along in his path. So Marcus, thank you for being willing to do this.
Thank
and
you.
God bless you as you tell your story. I'm just going to sit over here.
Good morning, everyone. I'd like to say the worship, you guys are just doing amazing. Can we get a hand for the worship team? Thank you. My name is Marcus Collius, and I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. I'm a disciple of Brian Buehler, and yes, it's way past due for a haircut. Thanks for noticing. Brian asked me to come up and share my conversion with you, a little bit about my testimony and what discipleship has meant to me. So for the next 2 to 3 hours, I'll be taking you through my life. You said I can have as much time as I want? Yeah, okay, good. Just confirming. Before I get started, please bow your head with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for bringing me to this place. Thank you so much for the story you've put in me, but please just use me as a vessel this morning to get your story across. Lord, I ask that my words, my body, my thoughts don't get in the way of your message, Lord. And please let this touch whoever you want it to touch. Amen. I come from a broken home, and for people who come from a broken home, that's a rough childhood. When I was 7, my parents were getting divorced, and there was a time I was literally in the middle of a tug of war, one parent on each arm pulling. That experience, not just that, but the whole divorce, messed me up for relationships, the idea of trust, the idea of love. For many, many years. And there was an emptiness in me because of that. We were raised in a Catholic home, and for me, Catholicism meant I was not to have a personal relationship with Jesus. I did believe in God. I believed that Jesus Christ died for my sins, but I wasn't to speak with him. When I was 16, my mochita, that's my grandma, we're Lithuanian, dragged me to the front of the church at Willingdon and said, "You're giving your life to Jesus today." And I said, "Great, okay." So I prayed the prayer that day with a pastor, and that was the day I learned I could have a personal relationship with Jesus, and that was pretty awesome. I was called, and I obeyed. And what I want to get across to everyone today is, when you're called and you obey, there are gifts. There are gifts galore for you. So that was at 16. That year, I was touched by Jesus for the first time. I used to be a very deep sleeper at that age, and I always slept with the door locked. I saw way too many horror movies where people really should have locked the door. And that night, I was poked in the shoulder very hard to wake me up. And as I'm turning over going, "Mom, what's going on?" The room was empty, and my door was still locked, and there was a message left in me, and I sat up in bed, and I said, "I've got to put the Bible in my car," and what a bizarre message to be left in me. So I had to go into my storage and search out my Bible, which I probably hadn't picked up for 5 to 8 years, and I listened. I obeyed. I put it in my car that day. As I'm driving on Highway 91, all of a sudden, a rainstorm comes out of nowhere, and it was the worst rainstorm I've ever seen in my life. The windshield wipers are going full blast, and I still can't see anything. But being a super cool teenager in a sports car, I was still doing 90, 95, when I hit a puddle, and I was going the wrong way. And then I hit the median, and bang, I was out. I kind of came to a little bit to this. Bang, 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 hitting the median over and over, passed out again. This happened a few times until I finally came to and slammed on the brakes. Checking myself, no pain, not a scratch on me, no more rain, like, okay. I got out of the car, and the guy standing across the street who just witnessed the whole thing is just sitting there. So I go over to him, and of course, the first thing I say to him is, I go, I put the Bible in my car this morning. And he tells me the story of what had just happened. My car was on its side, and it was airborne on its side, smashing. And if anyone remembers the old 300ZX with T-tops, it has a rounded top. You go on your side, you're on the roof. And those T-tops aren't going to give me a whole lot of protection up there. So Jesus watched out for me. He called me. I obeyed. He protected me. And I started moving more towards him. And I wish I could say that's when I truly gave my life to him. But to be honest, I didn't know what that meant. The next part of my story, I'm 22 years old. And Jesus called me again. He said, enough of this lame life that you're living. Give yourself fully to me. And I said, okay, Jesus, I'll do it. So I said, 100%, hardcore, I'm doing this Christian thing. But I'm going to ask one thing of you. I've got a list, Lord. If you want me to do this, I want my wife to be this perfect person. And I had this list. I've got a list that it was so long, and it was just impossible. I mean, I'd never met anyone with a quarter of the values on this list. And just to give you a few, she had to be incredibly intelligent, because one of us in the relationship had to be. She had to be beautiful. She had to be a Christian for her whole life. And that may sound weird to you, but I was such an immature Christian, and I knew it. I didn't want to be with someone who couldn't teach me more about Christianity, be the strong one in the relationship when she needed to be strong. And among a million other things, I said, if there's any way I could get parents out of the deal, that would be pretty cool too. Because I didn't have parents. One of the biggest parts of my story that I can tell you is I feel like I was raised without parents. And when I met my wife, Brooke, she had everything I was looking for. And I can't imagine a man deserving anybody like her, especially me. And her parents are the greatest parents I've ever met. And they took me in as their son. Again, a very undeserving guy. And on that note is our 8-year anniversary tomorrow. So, again, I was called, I faithfully followed, and I was blessed. I was blessed way more than I should have been blessed. Even at that age, though, and even though I was following Jesus, I feel like many Christians are in that part of their life where I'm a Christian. I know I believe in Jesus. I read the Bible. What more is there? I don't know. I don't know exactly what I'm supposed to do. Am I supposed to go across the world and preach? I don't know. And that's when discipleship came in. And the last thing I'm going to do before I call Brian up here is, I think Brian a few weeks ago mentioned a bit of a visual. Unfortunately, I wasn't here and I listened to it, and I expect this is somewhat what it looked like. But if this is a non-Christian, here is the average Christian. And it's not always easy to tell us apart. I want to encourage everyone to look into this discipleship thing. A disciple is over here. And there should be a real recognizable difference between a non-Christian and a disciple. And it's not as hard as you think. There are so many answers you're going to be given. It's a beautiful, beautiful process. I might as well invite you up, Brian, so we don't get into it too much.
You walk through a 6-month intensive discipleship process called Discipleship Essentials, one of the things that we are promoting for our church. How did that 6 months change your life?
Beyond being called into God's kingdom the first time by Jesus, this is by far the greatest thing that's ever happened in my Christian walk. By far. How it's changed me as a person, I now understand truly what it means to be a Christian. I find greater patience in me, more love in me, and I feel great. Like I wake up every morning to quiet time or time with the Bible or prayer, and wow, does it get me through the day? And the blessings that have been poured out on me, it's been just ridiculous.
Mm. Now, part of the covenant of somebody who walks through this course, they have to agree that if possible, God helping them, they will take another three or four people through the same process that you've been through. So have you done that, and how's it going?
I couldn't wait to start the next level of discipleship. If you don't mind, I'm going to expand on this question a little bit. When I was first asked to be in this discipleship, boy, did I feel unworthy. And I knew the other dudes who were invited into this thing, and I was like, wow, I am the least of the Christians here, and I don't know anything about the Bible compared to these guys, and I hope someone doesn't recognize that and kick me out or something. But it wasn't about that, and we went through this process together, and it was amazing. And at the end of it, just like Brian said, the next step is I'm supposed to take guys and go through the same thing with them that I just went through. And I couldn't wait. I was dying to get that started. So I had my group of guys selected, and it was taking a bit longer just because we were trying to figure out schedules. And one of the guys I really wanted on the team, his job wouldn't allow him to meet with us at any of the times that would work for us. And this is a really cool story about how God stepped in. I'm just about to send the email that basically said, sorry, maybe next time, which was devastating for me to write. He called me and he said, hey, I'm up for a promotion that I'm going to find out tomorrow. And I was like, oh, God is good. I knew 100% he was getting that promotion. And Brooke and I prayed about it that night. And lo and behold, he got the promotion, which allowed him the time to be part of the discipleship. And it was fantastic. So I have four guys with me now that we're going through the program again together. And after that, I'm going to have another four guys. And I expect these guys are each going to have their four guys. And we're so excited. We get together at 6 a.m. every Tuesday morning, and the Spirit is alive. Mm. We love being together. We love being part of this process. One of our guys is going back to school, unfortunately, and it's quite far away. So every Tuesday morning from now on, we're going to have a computer sitting in his spot, and he's going to be Skyping with us. Mm-hmm. And it's awesome.
One more question. There might be some folks here, and they've heard this, and they've heard me talk about it, and they're going, you know, maybe in 5 years or 10 years. It sounds too intimidating. Too hardcore, too personal, too intimate. I just don't think I'm up for it. How would you respond to somebody like that?
First, don't delay. There's always going to be an excuse. You will always have something come up that, okay, maybe in 6 months, in 3 months. At least take a look at it. It is so gratifying from day one. It's not that invasive. It's a great relationship you develop with these other people. Mm. And you learn right from day one. This is not committing to, I've always been horrified. I'd love to, but to go to like Bible school, I'd be, oh my goodness, the professors and the textbooks. I don't know any of that. This is none of that. It's here's how to read your Bible. Here's what to memorize. What do you think of this verse? What do you think of John saying this? What do you think of when Jesus meant this? And we just discuss it, and you sit down and you go, oh yeah. Oh wow. Oh, that's a great call. Oh yeah. And you walk away and you pray together, and you've got other people praying for you. It is an amazing experience.
Mm. Great. Thank you very much for sharing with us.
And before we finish up,
I won't argue with you.
I've got like another hour and a half here. I just wanted to thank you publicly. When you invited me to that, I was so undeserving. And when I heard Brian Buehler was asking me into this discipleship.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you.
But honestly, it is, it's absolutely changed my life. And I expect to do at least 80 more of these discipleships for the rest of my life.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well done.